It's the last week of the year, and we're taking a little time out to check back in with some of the people that we spoke to earlier in the year. And one of those voices was associated with the Arab Spring. Yesterday, we checked back in with Egyptian-American Nancy Youssef and Yemeni-American Raja Afolbani. They were watching the uprisings with bated breath back here in the U.S. But we also talked to lots of people who were right there in the thick of things this year. Some were protesting, some were fighting, some just hoping to come through the revolution in whatever country they were in one piece. One of those was Iman Trena, a Libyan and American citizen we spoke to in April. She just escaped the bombing and mayhem in Misrata by hopping on a fishing boat with her new baby in her arms.
The majority of the city is still held by the rebels, so we made our way to the port. The first day that we tried to go, we weren't able to leave because I believe that they received a shipment of arms. The rebels received a shipment of arms, and so they didn't allow anyone even near the port. The next day, we tried to leave again and were able to go on board a ship. And so we left the port at about 2 and arrived the next day in Malta.
Iman has just recently returned from Ireland, where she was staying, and is back in her native Libya and joins us now. Hi there, how are you?
Good, and yourself?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. When we spoke to you back in April, you talked about the streets of Misrata as being beyond recognition.
Streets that I've traveled on frequently, I couldn't even recognize at that point. Cars that were burned just in the middle of the street. So it was just complete destruction.
So now you're back in Tripoli, and I'm wondering how it looks.
When the plane was first descending in Tripoli, we could see the destruction. There were buildings that had been bombed. It was evident that there was a war from when we were in the air. Once we started going into the city, it started to look a bit more recognizable. We actually passed by the Qiyada, which is the Gaddafi's compound, and the concrete wall that was surrounding it was completely broken down. And you could actually, for the first time, see inside of the compound. But the rest of the streets, the shops were open, people were driving. I was surprised, actually, to see women driving and walking in the streets as well. So it seems things are, returning back to normal.
When we talked to you back in April, you could hear the fear in your voice, not just for yourself, but for your family, your husband. You said that your family had escaped with basically just the clothes on their backs. Take a listen to this.
Behind them was the hospital, and there were snipers above it, and it was where the regime forces were storing their supplies.
How has your family done in the months that have passed?
My husband's nephew was killed. He was 25 years old. He was fighting, and he was killed. One of my cousins was shot in the knee during the fighting in Tripoli. But most everyone is doing well, trying to get on with their lives and trying to get back to work and resume as normal. They seem to be doing well.
There's a lot of concern over how the revolution ended, how Gaddafi was killed, the actions of the opposition forces during the uprising itself. How do you feel about what's ahead for Libya?
I'm very optimistic. My father's actually, my father's been in the opposition since the 70s, and he's currently now chief of staff for the new prime minister. He doesn't really tell us much about what's going on, but it seems like things are going well. It seems like that everyone's trying their, not everyone, most people are trying their best to get the country onto the right track. So I think it's going to take time. It's not going to be easy. Gaddafi ruled the country with an iron fist for 42 years. So getting back onto a democratic civilian country is not. It's not going to be easy. But I'm confident that will take place.
How do you feel about the way that Gaddafi died, the way that it all ended?
A diplomatic response, or what I truly feel? What I truly feel is I'm happy he's gone.
No matter how it happened.
He's killed so many people. He ordered for mass rapes of women. I don't feel that whatever, no matter what happened to him, I don't feel that it was unjust.
So let me ask you, Iman, at what age do kids start school in Libya?
At 7.
So 7 years from now, the country has 7 years to become stable enough and functioning enough for your daughter to start school as a normal kid with her lunchbox and her book bag. Is the country going to be ready?
I hope so. And if not, my children will be homeschooled. But I hope so. It seems that they seem to be on the right track. They're reevaluating the current curriculum. they have specialists in trying to change the curriculum. Before, during Gaddafi's regime, I think purposely things were kind of chaotic, and the education system was, the education as well as healthcare were pretty much in shambles. And he was changing the curriculum every 2 years, so it was very hard for kids to kind of, you know, they would do a Malaysian system, and then another time they would do, you know, in 2 years they would completely change the way that math was taught, or 1 year they would teach English and the next year they wouldn't. So it was quite difficult. Hopefully now they'll have a clear view and a clear curriculum established, and they're working on that now. So I hope within the next few years that schools will be better. Not only in terms of curriculum, but also in terms of just the number of desks, of fire safety. I remember before in a small classroom you would have, you know, 30 students. There wouldn't be any clear aisles, so God forbid if something happened, there wasn't a way for students to escape. So hopefully all those things will be better, and the level of education will be better as well. And I'm looking forward to my children being part of it.
Well, you certainly sound a lot calmer and a lot more hopeful now than when we spoke to you back in April, and that's a blessing if nothing else. Iman Trena, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
A Libyan and American citizen escaped from the mayhem in Misrata when we spoke to her back in April. Thanks, and she speaks to us now from Tripoli.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.